Before Tim Federle became a best-selling author and a Broadway playwright, he worked as a backup dancer at the Super Bowl, a polar bear at Radio City, and a card-carrying chorus boy on Broadway. He's my guest today on 15 with the Author with his latest book, Life is Like a Musical, which features 50 tips learned backstage, on stage, and in between gigs. He calls it a self-help guide with jazz hands. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you so much, Terry. Happy to be here.
From fiction to cocktail recipe books like Tequila Mockingbird to a self-help guide, I have to ask, is alcohol involved in the self-help part?
Always. In moderation, but yes, feel free to dip in as long as you're of age.
Ah, that sounds good. So what was your process in writing Life is Like a Musical? Were you like taking notes all along the way? How did that come to be?
You know, whenever I see somebody release a memoir, which this isn't a memoir, but I always think, how do they remember everything? And the truth is, once you start digging back through your past, a lot of stuff pops out. So I wrote this book because I kind of feel like everything I know about life I learned doing theater. And the minute you name a year or a show that I was somehow a part of, a lot of lessons and stories sort of popped back. And so I was able to look back at those and craft the book.
And how did you lay those out on the floor, in the bedroom? How did you?
Google Docs. It's all about Google Docs. Yeah, it's like you just start making lists, and if any of them overlap, you strike it. But I tried to go wide because, you know, of course, hopefully, the book is going to appeal to the obvious audience, like people who know every lyric to Hamilton. But with something like this, it's also like maybe this can appeal also to anyone who wonders how show people deal with so much rejection, because there's a lot of rejection in show business, and keep sort of trucking along. And so that was the other mindset I had when I was writing it.
And what I noticed in the book was the one in particular, Dance Like Everyone's Watching, where you're told you were dimming your light. I think that really does have a lot to do with a very wide audience.
I think so, yeah. I think there's a lot of things we grow up hearing from adults, like follow your dreams, dance like everyone's watching. And I think it's well-meaning advice that isn't always helpful. You know, if I dance like nobody's watching, which is really what they say, then I'm not quite sure what I'm dancing for. And so a lot of the advice in the book is about taking things that I had heard growing up and sort of re-examining them and saying, does this still work for me as an adult?
Yeah. And apparently it has, because you've done pretty well for yourself.
It's fun. It's fun to wear a lot of different hats. You know, I mean, like you said, I was a backup dancer at the Super Bowl. And at that time in my life, if you had said, could you imagine someday becoming a published author? I'd say no, because, you know, don't you need permission for that? Doesn't somebody need to sort of tap you on the shoulder and say you're good enough? And one of the things I write about in the book is to try and develop the ability to value courage over confidence. That, you know, confidence is something that's sort of a byproduct of doing something you were afraid you might not be good at, and discovering you're actually not so bad at it. And I think a lot of us grew up, again, with a sort of self-help sayings like, go out there and be confident. And the truth is, if you wait till you're confident at something, you may never do the thing that you most dream of.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it happens with everyone. And that moment when your entire guts are just upside down and you think you're going to throw up, and then suddenly you're there. And there sometimes seems to be a calm. At least I think so.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, you were saying it so beautifully. I wanted to see where it was going. Yeah, I think most things, that the great irony of life is that most of the things that most scare us, like public speaking or any number of things, very frequently are not the things that actually, you know, come and say boo in the night. Right. And I think if there's one thing that showbiz people know, it's to kind of put on a happy face and go through life with as optimistic a point of view as possible.
Yeah. And one of the first things you talk about in the book is to cast yourself in the role you must play. What exactly do you mean by that?
It means putting yourself in a position that others might not see for you. You know, I think so many of us are kind of cast, and I'm using that word in quotes, mm-hmm. in roles that are basically the supporting part in somebody else's life. And when you kind of cast yourself in the role you must play, whatever that means to you, it means stopping and saying, what's the life I actually want to lead? What kind of character do I want to be? I am the leading part here, and not waiting for somebody else to tell you if you're going to be their backup dancer. You know, you got to kind of put yourself in the spotlight.
And one example that you give is Amy Schumer.
Yeah, you know, she is somebody I really look up to, and there's a number of actually female comedians who weren't getting the kind of roles they wanted to play, and so they wrote them for themselves. And I think there's something really interesting about that an actor's life is one in which you're constantly waiting to see what types of roles people will write for you. It's one of the reasons I became a writer, because I was sort of tired of waiting around hoping somebody would create something for me. And it was very liberating to actually realize, oh, I can give myself permission to be the creator.
Yeah. Stop asking for it. Just take it.
Make it. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Take it or make it.
We are talking with Tim Federle about his book, Life is Like a Musical. And it does feature 50 tips learned, well, pretty much all over the place, backstage, on stage, in between gigs. I love that. What were the things that happened, like, in between those gigs? Is that where you get the courage over confidence?
Well, one of the principles I write about is I encourage readers and your listeners to take comfort in the idea that everybody's always starting over, that even your biggest heroes who debut in a giant movie, or they have a number one album, or they run for a political office despite the crippling odds, even they have to wake up the next morning and say, now what? And whether it's a divorce you're going through or a show closing, you know, I was in so many shows that would close, and then suddenly you'd say, wow, this thing that I thought was going to be a really steady paycheck for years just kind of crumbled underneath my feet. So the in-between gigs part is the idea that it's not pleasant, but you can take some comfort in the idea that a lot of people are in the same position you are.
That's true. And what is it about people that we choose to dim our light?
I think there's that famous old quote, I think it's Nelson Mandela, about, you know, we have to ask ourselves, not are we weak, but are we, you know, powerful beyond measure, which I'm completely bungling now. But the idea is, it's scary to put yourself out there, because if you shine your brightest light and you still get rejected, then it's really depressing. You know, if you shine your brightest light and you put your best foot forward and they still reject you, then it's like, what do you do then? And the actual answer is you pick yourself back up and you keep marching. But I think to never shine your light, to hide it under the bushel, to hold back, to not put yourself out there, whether it's for the job promotion, the new job altogether, the partner, the swiping right on Tinder, if you're not putting yourself out there, then you're not in the game. And if you're not in the game, then you're kind of, you're sitting at home wondering what could have been.
And you also talk about being extra nice to the PAs. I really appreciate that, as it reminds me of those of us that are behind the scenes, that they are essential players.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also, like, every production assistant, every front desk clerk, every person picking up a towel at your local gym, they will someday be the boss, and they remember everybody. And they remember how people treated them and made them feel. You know, it's really good karma to be nice to everybody along the way and to treat people with the dignity they deserve. It's also just good business sense to constantly be walking through life recognizing, this is the showbiz person thing, that kind of all of life is an audition. And more than ever with social media, people know if you are the type of person who they want to work with or date or sort of be associated with. And so it's a good thing to sort of keep in mind. Be nice to everybody despite, you know, the sort of power imbalances.
Yeah. Kindness wins.
Kindness wins.
Yeah.
Does.
It, and also, the one thing that I saw is, explain the follow your whims.
We tell kids, follow your dreams, but it's actually a lot of pressure. Like, dreams are a lot of pressure. If all you're doing all day is following your dreams, then, like, most days of the week are not going to be fun. And so I also say follow your whims. Your whims are those side projects, those little hunches, those ideas that might lead to something. My biggest example of that is that I had this idea for a book called To Kill a Mockingbird about 5 years ago, and I thought, oh, that would be funny, a kind of, you know, recipes for the English major crowd based on famous books. And it was a whim. It was a single one-line email that I sent to a friend, and my friend did the most important thing you can do for your friends, which is she wrote back, great idea, keep going. And if she had written back, I don't know, Tim, you're not a mixologist, you didn't major in English, is this really for you? Then I probably would have not pursued it. That book has gone on to sell like 500,000 copies around the world. Mm-hmm. And it was a whim. So those are really fun to chip away at, whatever that means to you.
A power of a whim, for sure.
Power of a whim. Next book.
Yeah, there we go. Well, give me credit for that.
I will. You'll get a thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. We're talking with Tim Federle. He is the author of Life is Like a Musical, How to Live, Love, and Lead Like a Star. You also talk about turning your weaknesses into strengths, and there's so many things in here. As we talked about, there's 50 different things. Muses work in mysterious ways. What do you mean by that?
There are so many things. Muses work in mysterious ways. I think there's a mystery to the arts. You know, people think that writing books comes from some magic place, and I have some of my own superstitions. Mostly it's about waking up every day and showing up to work. For me, showing up to work means walking over to my laptop. Turning your weaknesses into strengths. There's a famous Broadway choreographer named Bob Fosse who choreographed many shows. Yeah, he was amazing. He's really amazing. And he choreographed many numbers to feature his dancers wearing these bowler hats, this type of sort of old-fashioned hat. And it was a signature step. And in time, it was revealed that the reason he so often wore a hat when he was choreographing is because he had a bald spot and he was embarrassed. It's so interesting to see how he took something that is maybe a perceived weakness or something that made him feel insecure and actually spun it into something that became this kind of signature style. And I say that to people all the time. For me, it was that I was kind of like a smart aleck class clown who was constantly thinking of quippy things. That was a weakness when I was in middle school and I drove teachers crazy, but I sort of ended up turning it into a career. You have to find those things that for your life seem like, you know, apparent weaknesses and saying, how can I take this and use it to my, what's the advantage buried in this?
Right. And I have to ask you, did you ever go back to those teachers and say, hey, look at me?
You know, I never marched through the halls of my old school. But you know, we're all on Facebook, and I think they hear that I turned out okay.
They got it for sure. What's the most important lesson you think that your takeaway from Life is Like a Musical? What would you like the most important thing for the people to have gotten?
I think the show must go on.
Yeah.
That whatever that thing is in your life, I'm not talking like critical things that you actually need to change, like bad relationships, but the things that are the necessary evils of life, going to work, those days where your kids are driving you nuts, those days where you don't want to actually, you know, sit down and pay the bills or go to the gym, the show must go on. It's like put something on automatic pilot and recognize that the world is going to spin without you, with or without you, and that you've got to sort of join the great big cast that is, you know, the world.
Yeah. I remember days looking at my gym clothes and thinking, nah. And then I'd say, okay, just put the clothes on. You don't have to do a thing. Just put the clothes on.
Oh, well, that's good. I love a little self-trickery.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very useful.
Once you do that, it kind of starts, it helps. It really does.
It does. You're like, well, now I'm in the sneakers.
Yeah, then it's like, well, geez, I suppose I could turn the video on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. But,
exactly.
Well, Tim, thank you so much. I do want to ask what's next for you because you're just like a whirling dervish.
Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff. The two things I'm really excited about are This Christmas, I'm one of the screenwriters on a new movie called Ferdinand, the big animated film starring John Cena and Kate McKinnon from Fox Animation. So I'm excited about that. And then I just wrote the third book in my Better Nate Than Ever series, which is about a theater kid from Pittsburgh who moves to New York, which is somewhat autobiographical.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Well, we'll look forward to those and to Christmas and the book and all kinds of things. So thank you so much for your time, Tim.
Thanks a lot, Terry. I appreciate it.
Take care.